Okay, we're back in session. Thank you. Okay, I do not have a board president's report. Is there anyone on the board who has a report or a legislative update? No? Okay. Okay, Ms. Poulos.
At Lyons today, they had a student speaker contest, and the West Covina contestants didn't win, although they were the only ones that weren't seniors. There was a freshman and a sophomore, and they did a fabulous job. And they were all so close, and considering that they were a freshman and a sophomore, that they're going to be phenomenal by the time that they're seniors. And so we saw an impressive group from Edgewood, and then we know that some great things are happening at West Covina High School too, so I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Okay, we are to our organizational business, the approval and the agenda and consent items.
I'm going to take off item number 4.
Okay. Any other consent items to remove? Okay. Okay. Who will move the approval of the agenda and consent items?
I'll second.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Moved by Mr. Mike Spence, seconded by Mr. Steve Cox, to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of February 14th, 2012. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Carries 4-0. Okay, let's go to item number 4.
I took it off consent because when I remember this being discussed at the table, I thought the date was going to be April 17th. And from April 24th to April 17th. And so I was confused to see the 10th, and the 10th is a problem. I'm out of town till late on the 9th, and that's also spring break for the district too, isn't it?
That's the week.
Yeah, so I don't know why we would schedule on the 10th when we had talked about doing it on the 17th.
I think the 17th, is that when the city council meets? Why did we change to 17? Well, it's been our that's fine with me, but it's been our policy not to meet on nights that or our practice. I don't know if it's policy that
we've met before.
We've met before
on city council meetings. They have meetings around our meetings.
They do.
So if you'd like to make that,
I believe I'll be out of town. I'm going to be in Dallas. I don't know the dates, Jamie.
On the 10th or the 17th?
It's around the 15th. So
we talked about the 17th.
Yeah, the 17th was. I remember we brought that up and then said we would. Calendar it.
I wasn't going to be going to Dallas, but I am for my son's special needs ice hockey tournament, but you don't need to know that.
So,
okay.
If we take a minute, I can call my husband and get the dates for sure.
Well, we have another meeting if you want us to pull it and come back with.
Table it to the next meeting.
We could table it to the next meeting.
Okay, well, it was also my understanding that it was going to be the 17th. I understand that it's also a consideration that we give to the city council, and we are on spring break the week before.
And I did not check for the 17th because the agenda says the 10th.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why it said that.
We have time.
Actually, don't you have tax season the 15th? Isn't that an important day in tax season?
17th, huh?
No, I mean the...
The 10th.
We're meeting taxes on the 10th.
We don't have spring break on the 10th.
No, we have spring break the week prior.
The 9th, right? The 9th school's out.
Right? I don't have a preference. Whatever works for the board.
Edison is.
I just think we should plan a meeting because it's close to budget time, and I would be concerned about going a whole month without a meeting.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to go a whole month.
Yeah, no, we can't go a whole month.
We shouldn't go.
So
you don't
I can take a moment if you let me call and I can find out.
Okay.
Then let's take a moment. We will recess for one moment.
I'm not going to text him. I'm going to call him because I don't know if he would.
I get to eat my chocolates.
I could send a member of the audience to go out and do it.
Oh, he didn't pick up.
Yeah, he's not, he might not pick up from me either, but.
On Valentine's Day, he wouldn't pick up a phone call from me. Okay.
Man.
Mm,
thank you. They're delicious.
I chose to come to a
I'll be back.
Okay.
Well, then I move that we call the meeting for April 17th.
And do we know if Jessica can do it then?
Move to do when?
But she can't do it. She'll be in Boston.
The 24th, yeah. She and I will both be in Boston for an SBA. Okay, so we are, okay, for the April board meeting of the Board of Education meeting, we are going to change it to April 17th, 2012, rather than the 10th. Do we have someone who will move that?
I did.
Okay, you did, Mr. Spence. Who will second that?
I will.
So we have been moved by Mr. Mike Spence and seconded by Ms. Cami Poulos to consider changing the date of the April 24th, 2012 Board of Education meeting to April the 17th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. All righty. And then when we get to the personnel, then I'll, should I mention it then, or should I do that now? Okay.
Yeah, maybe okay. It wasn't clear, but when I did the consent calendar, it was the amended personnel report. That
okay, the consent calendar is the amended personnel report.
Yeah,
so we will be consenting the amended personnel report. Okay. Okay, item number 5, the School Board Associate Delegate Assembly Ballot. Please, Ms. Kaplan.
We found out today that we, our office made a mistake, that we did not submit my county's name, either name, because of the School Board Association. We're trying to rectify it today to find out what we could do. We did send an email out to all the representatives of our district. My recommendation for us tonight is to amend this to put Mike down as a write-in on our ballot before we make the vote. It was our mistake. Take full credit for it, and we really apologize for whatever negative consequences come from this. But we did not. We did contact all the superintendents today and inform them of our mistake.
Okay, so if I'm understanding it correctly, then you were asking that we write in his name, and then at the
That would be if the board wanted to. They could cast a vote for me as a write-in vote.
Right.
As a write-in vote. Okay, and then all the other districts are doing that as well?
No, that's going to be up to them.
It's up to them.
Okay.
We've contacted them and requested that they put him in as a write-in, and that they not meet as a board until they receive his background information.
Okay, so they not okay. Okay, so then are we voting on this tonight, or then will we be voting on it the next meeting?
It's up to you. If you want to put Mike down as a write-in, you can vote tonight.
However you want to do it.
Okay. And then the other school districts, did they have the opportunity to get his bio? Was that submitted?
We emailed them today. They don't have to meet until March 15th. They have to do the vote by March 15th, so mm-hmm. we're hoping that we gave them enough time to, if they have it on their agenda, to pull it or to put his name in as a write-in, but to also
if they want.
To get the buy-in.
It should happen.
Okay. Okay, and was CSBA consulted?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the advice they gave
us. So
yeah, because that way they don't have to redo it.
I was going to say CSBA is not going to redo the ballot. And.
No, they only did that when I tied. That's when they did the recount with Mowbray. That was when I tied. And then they said, oh, we found votes.
Okay. So then do we move first? For item number 5 to write in his name, because that's what we originally submitted. So,
well, I would appreciate that.
There's a, which he can be one
there's a provision. Okay. It says provision for write-in candidate here.
Okay.
You can
so it's already on the candidate. So you can somebody can move 3 people, including him, as a write-in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we have to agree on who those 3 will be, and with Mr. Spence as a write-in, correct?
If there's a majority to do that, yeah.
Majority
to write him in. Okay. Okay. So then let's.
All individually, or we're going to do it.
Well, no. Couldn't we? I mean, if he was, let's say, we were going to do 3, he could just be one of a provision as a write-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that we can do them all at once. Okay, so then can we go ahead and just open this up for discussion? How?
Does somebody move to put Mike's name in?
No, because we're figuring out who we're going to vote for in total, too.
Oh,
perhaps.
He needs to make the motion.
Oh.
They know it's
okay.
Possible.
Okay. Well, then I would like to make the motion to put forth the original ballot that we did, which was Shilonin Cruz Gonzalez, Cami Pulos, and Mike Spence. I will move that. Do I have a second? Okay. With no second, the motion is not carried. Do we have...
I would
another
like,
alternate?
To be honest with you, I think we ought to have give new people opportunities to run. Some of these people have been in for a long time. I know Rosemary and Okami Joe have all been involved with Delegate Assembly. I think it's time that we offer new opportunities. Mike's been doing it for, been on the board for 20 years, and he's never been involved with Delegate Assembly. I think it's time we do that. I would make a motion to include, I can't say the first name, Cruz Gonzalez from Azusa, Jason Rothman from Pomona, and Mike Spence as a write-in.
And I just want to know let everyone know I'd be very disappointed not to be on CSBA. I think I've attended everything. I think I've done a great job, and that I shouldn't be penalized because I've done a great job, and that I put myself out there to do it.
I'll second it. And you know, you have done a good job, Cami, except for the support of the CSBA hierarchy that allowed Scott Plotkin to get a pension that was $300,000 that was just recently overturned by CalPERS. And, you know, except for that.
I wasn't on the voting board to do that. But
you were on the board that you elected the board. And then you defended them when they should have been held accountable for what their lack of oversight, that they were being paid by our dues to do.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Are we done?
Okay. We'll have to take a vote. All those in favor of Shilonin, Joseph, I'm sorry. Jason. Sorry.
Jason
Rockman. Jason. And Mike Spence. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
All those, I'm going to say no. We still have failed. Do we have to put forth three names?
No more than three.
No more than three. Okay. Does anybody else have another combination that they'd like to bring forward? Or to move on?
Well, I definitely wanted to be on it, but I don't have, obviously with the two, it would be the same thing.
I would like to see Mr. Spence move forward. I know that he had an interest in this.
And we can let the other districts decide. Well, we didn't put our nominations in, so there's nothing that says we have to put a ballot in.
Can we put forward I don't want to leave it to just the other districts because I do want us to vote and we could not get the support for Shilonine, Cammie, and Mike. We failed. Can we move to put over just Cammie and Mike? Can I get a second on that?
I would second that.
Okay. Just Cammie and Mike. Cammie seconded it.
The question. So I don't have to vote against myself.
Just leave it.
Okay. All those in favor of voting for Cammie and Mike, because I'd like to put Mr. Spence's name forward so that the other districts can see that we are supporting our...
Yes.
I have a yes on that. Do I have another one? Okay, we failed again. Okay, I guess we will... We have no vote. Can we bring it back next board meeting?
To have a lengthy discussion about it.
Can we put them through separately?
Sure.
Can we do that?
Let's do
that separately then. Okay. I move to put through Mike Spence's name.
I'll second that.
Okay. Can we have a vote to put through Mike Spence's name? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so we have three. That carries. No.
A no.
Okay, no. And we have one absent. Okay. I will go ahead and motion to put through Ms. Cami Poulos' name. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against?
No.
Motion fails. Okay. So we put through Mr. Spence's name?
I'm willing to put through other people's names.
Okay. Then we can vote on each one individually?
Is there someone else you want to put through?
I'll move Rosemary and Joseph.
Okay. We'll go through this route individually then. Do we have a motion for Rosemary and Joseph? Cami?
I move them.
Okay. And Mike Spence, you seconded that? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against?
No.
No. Okay. So that didn't carry. I'm going to put through on a single vote Chilonin Cruz Gonzalez. Do I have a second on that?
Yes,
okay. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against?
No.
Okay. So we have 3-1. Okay. Rosemary, we'll just vote on these individually.
Well,
we're at 2? I'm sorry?
We already had a motion that fell on that, didn't we?
Oh, we had it for Rosemary and Joseph together.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to do them separately. Rosemary, do we have a motion for Rosemary?
I'll move Rosemary.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, for Rosemary. I look like Scratch over here. Okay, all those in favor for Rosemary, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, 2, okay. Against?
No.
No.
I can't believe this.
Okay. Joseph.
You're trying to build a team.
I'll move Joseph.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Joseph, do we have a motion for Joseph?
I withdraw that motion.
Okay, Mr. Cox withdrew that. Is there a motion for Joseph?
I'll move Joseph.
Okay. And is there a second?
But what?
Me.
I'd say what I say about you, I'd say to your face.
Seeing no second, it fails. Jason Rothman.
I'll move Jason Rothman.
Okay. Is there a... Do we need to take a break?
I'm saying that to you.
Would you like to say something to my face? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you just said I talk behind your back. I don't talk behind people's back. I have no problem talking. I said exactly why
I
opposed you.
Let's take
you
a five-minute break.
Right here. I said it right here.
We are on a five-minute break.
No.
I'll say it.
You were saying because I opposed you to ROP. So if you want it on the record,
that's
what you told me because I opposed you to ROP.
You have a lot of nerve lecturing me about that.
That's your problem. You lecture me about stuff that you do.
Exactly.
And then you sort of upset when it happens.
I'm
not being admitted it, Cami. You supported the big pensions. You defended it. You supported tax increases as part of CSPA. There's a whole business stuff. What was this stuff? I don't even get into the conduct that's in the report. That's just truly amazing to me.
What report?
So the report that talked about what you did?
I did do nothing.
Oh.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I understand why you voted against this in the email. I understand it now. I get it completely.
I turned over everything to the attorney.
Oh, I didn't say you didn't. I know. That's why I know it's there. It's not.
Okay, we had one more candidate, and that was Jason Rothman. Is there a motion to move Jason?
I'll move Jason.
I'll second.
Mr.
Spence? Yeah.
Mr. Cox? Okay. All those in favor for Jason Rothman, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, and all those against? Say no.
No.
Okay, so that one doesn't carry. So we are putting through Cammie and Mike's name. We went through everyone.
No.
Okay.
No.
Not
putting my name. Okay.
No, we're putting...
I'm sorry, Cammie and Shiloni.
No.
That's what we got. Cammie and Shiloni.
Spence.
No.
Mike Spence and Shiloni Cruz Gonzalez.
Yes, that's right.
Those are the only two that carry. So those are the two. I'm sorry. I apologize.
But that would have been nice.
Okay, so we are carrying and we are putting through our ballots for Mike Spence and Shiloni Cruz Gonzalez. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move on to item number...
I guess we're taking a break.
Number 19. Mr. Spence, I'm believing he indicated that he has...
That's all right. I was going to leave that for that item.
Right, that he has a family... Okay, so item number 19, budget revision. I will turn this over to Ms. Kaplan.
Yes. This is the budget revision for...
This is budget revision for we do them about every month or so. Captures any changes in revenue as well as any related expenditures. Sometimes we increase expenditures based on an additional revenue or decrease in revenue, as well as reclassing where we want to spend our money between expenditure categories. Specific questions.
Are there any questions, Mr. Cross? Okay, any questions, Ms. Kulos?
The only thing I had on there was on number 19, and I did ask Ms. Kaplan about it, and it doesn't recognize the changes, the recent changes for the transportation. But she said your next report will.
Correct. Yeah, okay. This was prepared a couple weeks ago. And actually, what's going to happen with transportation? What's going to happen is the governor's decided to make an adjustment not in the transportation budget itself, but in our revenue limit. So once the county gets that information, they send it to us, and then we'll be preparing another budget revision based on that.
Okay. So, may no further questions?
I'm moved to accept the budget revision.
Thank you. Seconded by Alpha Una. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? It's carried 3-0. Okay, and our final, our information report. I again turn this over to Ms. Kaplan.
Yes, what we wanted to do tonight is to update you is to the governor's proposed budget and how that. Could possibly affect our
district.
At the same time, we talked to you a little bit about the budget planning that we have been doing over the last several months and talk about the impact over that we'll have for the next two budget periods. So it's kind of bring the budget kind of an ongoing discussion in our board meetings to bring you along to our meetings.
Thank you.
Where we are right now. We're going to talk to you.
So I know you've heard a lot about the different budget changes. We'll go through these and see what we can do. Basically, the governor is proposing to maintain our revenue limit funding at our current 11-12 year pre-trigger. There was a $13 per ADA actual trigger, and that's with the exception of transportation. So that funding really is based on, hopefully, again, taxes passing by the voters over a five-year temporary period that would be able to maintain our current level of funding except transportation. Transportation, you know, the money's gone, the money's back, things are changing, but basically bottom line is with transportation, originally they were taking away our transportation-specific funding, which is $113,000 this year, which is half a year, and $226,000 in future years. But the governor has made a change, and now that's going to be based on an ADA basis, taking it out of your revenue limit. So that's actually taking $382,000 away from us, more than just if they took transportation. And the objective is try to balance that, where you have the rural schools who really have to have provide that transportation. If they were to lose all their funding, then that would be a greater hardship for them than other districts. Justification behind it. With traditional,
you took out a revenue limits, right?
Yes, and for us at 4282 per ADA, that's 382,000 compared to about 226,000 just for our funding. Traditional kindergarten now is not required or funded, and the COLA is offset by the deficit factor, so basically there is no COLA. The governor is also proposing to overhaul how the financial system works, combining all the individual categorical programs with the revenue limit, so it gives you complete flexibility. Now we had temporary flexibility with those categorical programs. That would be ongoing. He also wants to change that in a weighted student formula. Something came out earlier today how that's going to take place. Everything keeps getting tweaked a little bit. At the time we prepared this, it was supposed to be spread over a five-year period. Now it's over a six-year period. And the categoricals would be completely flexible. Now, mandates. You know, there's a lot of mandates out there. We perform them. We bill. We hope someday to collect those dollars. Then you can be audited years and years later, and those dollars could go back. So it's really nothing you can put your, you know, fist down and know we're going to get those dollars. So what the governor is proposing is eliminating about half of them, retaining ones that are related to health and safety, and making other ones optional. Now, which ones are going to be optional, what falls in all buckets, are still up in the air like many things with the budget. Now, for educational necessity, for mental health services, it's still going to be the school district's responsibility. They're trying to re-bench Proposition 98 to backfill one-time losses from 63. Also, there'll be federal funding to continue earmarked for special funds on an ADA basis, a small amount, 1161. Now, the federal funding was set in December 2011. There's a small increase to Title I special education basic grants. They're providing for a teacher incentive for incentive pay and flat funding for school improvement, Title III. So dollars are small, but at least they're not decreasing. There's a slight increase. Now, the challenges for us at West Covina, the governor's budget is basically dependent on passing those property taxes, or those, temporary taxes, very similar to last year. So what they're saying is very similar to last year again. If those taxes don't pass, then they would be an automatic trigger. They could reduce our funding as much as $370 per ADA, or over $3 million. Now, they threatened last year, and I think it was very close to $3 million also, and we ended up with only $13 per ADA. Again, it's kind of a shuffle game. They're pulling from here to pay and try to hope that the economy comes back so they don't have to do these things. So on one hand, it's great that the proposal for the budget's no new cuts, but we don't know if that funding is really going to be there until November of this year. Funding for transportation, you know, no matter what you call it, if they give us a transportation line but take down your ADA, we're going to lose money. So, you know, we won't have the funding for about $382,000. We understand the justification, you know, to benefit overall the state. But that's a bigger hit than we anticipated. And also with the change in the allocation formula, where it's going to be on a weighted student basis based on the needs of the students, we really don't know the final outcome. They're trying to work that out also. New formulas are coming out, so we don't know if we're a winner or a loser. Hopefully there won't be a significant financial impact to us. Now, what we've been doing is identifying, actually, cabinets meeting weekly, all cabinet members, including Ms. Alexander. She's part of our group. And looking at how do we spend money, looking at all of our programs, deeping really deep into the financials. We include our fiscal director, basically leaving no stone unturned. And what we tried to do is look at all of our expenditures, and if you had to cut them, put them into three types of buckets. One, something that we could live with, something that's going to be a little bit harder to do, and something that's going to be a really extreme. So really our goal was to identify reductions in expenditures that had very little impact to teaching or the learning process. And Kim's been able to find a massive amount of money by implementing some of those recommendations from the special education report, bringing her own expertise to the table, and really rolling up her sleeves all the way past her shoulder to find ways that we can provide excellent service, but at a much more cost-effective way. You saw our transportation study. We're looking at that. Opportunities there with home to school as well as other efficiencies. Things that we'd like to move forward with also is reviewing special education with the county, seeing what we can add to that. We're looking at our own reorganization, maximizing the usage of all of administrators, and that's in educational services in the district office. And I kind of threw out the placeholder for American Express rebates. You know, we don't generate revenue, so any place we can find a rebate, some cost reduction, that's kind of our bucket. So American Express, you know, it's maybe only $30,000, but still growing from the 70, it's getting there. looking at how we use our utilities, be more cost-efficient with that. You approved us getting new water controllers, which have a rebate, which basically will save us money at no cost. So with the items already on the table, all on that level one, again, having very little impact to the teachers or the learning environment. In our current year, we think we can save $1.2 million. And that's great because each one of those dollars roll out, it multiplies. And if you remember back when we built our budget for this year, the two out years, 12, 13, 13, 14, we had placeholder reductions of $2 million in the first year and an additional $3 million. So $5 million overall we need to save. So with saving this $1.2 million, we're looking at 12, 13. We feel very confident that we can save, again, $2.3 million with very little impact into the school. And then also now 13, 14, 2.4. So those dollars roll forward. So we've already accomplished our $2 million, and that rolls forward into the 13, 14. And we're going to need to look at what we can do to save that extra $3 million going forward. So in looking at our financials, if we look at our original budget for 11-12, and that's the first column, not our current revised, but the original, we had revenue of $64.3 million, expenditures of $73.6 million, which actually gave us some encroachment of $9.3 million, and an ending fund balance of $13.2 million. Now, when we look at actuals, we actually think we're going to do better this year, end up with an ending fund balance of 17.5. Part of that is because our beginning balance is higher at 24.1 compared to when we built the budget of 22.5, and that's because the actual expenditures didn't occur at the end of the year. So we were able to start off the year better. Plus, also, you'll notice that the contribution to the fund or the encroachment of $6.6 million is less than we anticipated, and that's part of those savings already taking effect. Now we're getting ready. So when you look at our second interim that will be coming shortly at the next board meeting, we'll see numbers very close to this for the current year. For 12-13, we're looking at that. That's where we're putting our implementation of our cost savings in there, as well as the loss of the transportation or our revenue limit equivalent of transportation dollars at the higher rate. And still, with those savings, we're $11.9 million. Our goal is to maintain at least $8.3 million in our ending fund balance. Now, we haven't identified our 13-14 cuts yet. So right now, the good news is, even though it shows that we need to cut another $2.2 million, but finding those cuts early and implementing them and working forward, instead of having to cut $3 million, we look like we only have to cut $2.2 million. Yes, very good point. That's with the temporary taxes and the level one reductions, we're calling this. Now, just so you know the numbers, worst case right now based on our current information, again, the first column original budget doesn't change. Our projection for the end of this year doesn't change. When we go into 12-13, again, we start losing revenue. We would drop to $8.6 million, which is basically our base for what we want for ending fund balance. So we may want to have to look for additional cuts in the year. Again, we won't know until the election in November. And then in 13-14, obviously, we wouldn't have a fund balance, and we're required to have about a $2.2 million fund balance as a 3% reserve. So obviously, there's no way to cut, you know, the $8.8 million to bring that up. And the only reason we show this is kind of, you know, this is a doomsday. You know, if they say, you know, we actually get the cut they say we're going to get, if the triggers take place. So obviously, this isn't practical. Hopefully, the state will work something out so this doesn't really happen. But what I think it shows is, even though we came up with our $2 million now, we still need to be very diligent in saving money, being more efficient with what we do, and start planning now really how we're going to save those dollars. Because any dollar we save now is worth $3 out if we do it in this fiscal year. We save it next fiscal year is worth $2 towards your $3 million. Because every dollar we save, we're putting into that ending fund balance, and so we'll have it to draw down in the future.
The concern that we have is that the governor is calling these bond measures and these measures education, particularly these tax, recommendations here say education, and truly it's not going to give us any more money, it's only going to keep us at the level we are. So the education community is really concerned about going up to the saying, vote for this thing, it's going to save education, and it really doesn't give any more dollars to education. Of the $6 billion that will be collected, only about $1.5 billion will be going towards education, so it's hard to call it an education measure. So that's one of the concerns that the educational community has. What we've been doing as a team, in the meeting weekly, to really take a look at what our budget is, what our expenses are, and we did level one, which were recommendations that we can make to you, and some of them we discussed today, where it really has none, I don't think, any effect on teaching. But once we go to the next level, that 2.2, if that's the best case scenario, we're talking about level two. Level two are, any way you look at it, are going to affect the teaching and learning that's going on. It's really prioritizing and saying which is the best scenario. So we've got figures for class size reduction, we have figures for program adjustments, we have figures for reduction in school days. We don't think we need to implement any of these reductions in the next budget, but we will have to be looking at them very seriously going forward. And if the trigger doesn't happen, we are going to have to look at some drastic measures, because otherwise we're going to be in a place where we're going to have to fund out.
Okay, ready questions?
First of all, the team that you put together, I trust that that includes representatives from the associations.
At this point, because we have not been going into drastic cuts, I think our goal was when we first went into this, we thought we were only going to have to go into level two, and once we went into level two, we were going to bring in representations, because we had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that the level of reductions that we're making now necessitates that. Mm-hmm. But that would be the next level. It really has been cabinet. We had our director of high school involved in it as well, and we've really just been trying to get a real handle on where we are and what kinds of recommendations we can make with little impact to the classroom. We are very pleased that we can come to you with the recommendations for the next school year, but it's really just postponing the pain for one year.
But you keep talking about this impact on, you know, the education program. We need class size reduction, we leave the school year, school day the way that they are, that doesn't leave us a whole lot. The problem is people have to know this is not something that we're doing. I mean, we're trying to do everything we can, you know, to generate the revenue that we can, but the resources are quite limited. And let's face it, virtually all of our income is what's given to us by the state. If that money isn't there, I mean, it's just simply a matter of what we can afford to pay. It's not, you know, I mean, there are individuals in this room, perhaps, that I think may be grossly underpaid and even underappreciated. And but whether or not I can pay them truly what they're worth is not irrelevant of what I think they're worth and their ability to provide educational services to, you know, our children has no impact on it. It's strictly, sorry, but this is all we can afford, and, you know, move on. But I think that involving them sooner the better, I think, is going to be important.
Well, our thought now is really, if things remain as we're looking at best case scenario, we have a year to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, rather than wait, we really have to start addressing them now. Mm-hmm. So good news is we're postponing it, but it doesn't mean we have to postpone those conversations and getting those people involved, because we are definitely going to get
them. But again, I was hoping that, you know, the transportation reports that we got, you know, that the transportation people involved in that would have been able to see those things that are necessary to be necessary changes to make this program right. You know, I'm hoping the same thing. We bring in teachers and that, and they're going to maybe have some ideas on other issues and other ways that we could be more efficient. Quite honestly, the bottom line is going to be is, you know, the cost of payroll.
You know,
and so some way or another that's going to happen, whether or not the, you know, the taxpayers want to pay more taxes to help us afford to pay people more money, that's what they're going to have to make that decision. And if so, great, then we'll maintain the salaries that we have because we can afford to. If they don't, we're going to have to do something with salaries and wages and or numbers of people because we simply can't afford it. We can't run bankrupt and deficits forever. And we've already been through that.
So what I'm hearing is we're not looking at drastic cuts for the 12-13 school year.
Yes.
The ballot measure, though, is this November. And I understand the triggers will happen immediately if that the ballot measures do not pass. Are we going to have two budgets? So because we won't have the money to run without significant cuts, without those ballot measures passing.
My understanding is that the county's going to come out and ask for what are you going to do if these triggers happen. You have to have a plan. When you look at the trigger and you look at the amount of money that we're talking about that we need to cut, we actually, you know, when we look at program adjustments, we came up with possible $300,000 savings. When we look at class size reduction and we looked at 21, 22 to 1, 25 to 1, 30 to 1, if you went 30 to 1, it would be $2.3 million savings. When you look, and that was for elementary, when you look at secondary, there was another almost $300,000 of savings. If you're looking at one school day, if you're looking at furlough, if you're looking at certificated only, one day was about $191,000, one was $192,000, and if you were going to include district, it was about $247,000. So we know, I mean, basically, you're looking at $3 million, you're looking at taking everything off of this list. So
wouldn't that have to be negotiated?
Some of the stuff would have to be class size reduction. Well, we would have to make a decision now in terms of laying people off, and it's not my recommendation that
we do
that.
Well, it would have to be negotiated if we change it. Well, even the class size, and if we increase class size, that has to be negotiated.
Oh, right now it's 31.
The K-3 class size is not in the contract, so we can go to 31 without renegotiating.
Okay.
The problem
we'd only look at K-3 then?
Well,
or the increase?
The figures you do.
Okay.
But again, if we were going to implement that next year, we would have to lay people off now, and I'm not recommending that we do that. I think we do have language with the negotiations that if this trigger does come about, we may have to go and talk about possible furlough days for this 1 year. That might be our out for that 1 year. And that won't be $3 million, you know, the amount of days. But I think what we have is a list now to talk about. If the trigger takes place, you have one choice. You have a choice to use your reserves or to go for furlough, basically, at that point. And that would have to be negotiated then.
And what would be the projected cost in addition to the deficit we already see for 12-13 without the trigger, without that money, additional money?
So we're talking the last financials. If the trigger, there was no taxes, so they would have the full trigger, if that's what you mean. Mm-hmm. This is what we look like. In a 12-13, the very next year, we're already at our goal of maintaining the 8.3. And keeping in mind our ending fund balance isn't all in cash with these deferrals. If the taxes don't pass, they're not going to be able to offset those deferrals. So we will be very tight and probably have to even borrow at that $8.6 million in order to make payroll in certain months. And then the next year is really what the question is. You know, you'd have to make all those cuts, and we still wouldn't get to where we need to be. So hopefully this cut is like worst case that really isn't going to happen. It's maybe a political maneuver somehow to influence that if it doesn't happen, there'll be something this drastic. But if the state doesn't have money, they don't have money either. Like you say, most of our funding comes from the state. What would we do?
So in 12-13, we could have a cash issue if this doesn't...
Right, probably by the end of the year. And we do have the nutrition fund and to be able to borrow from. And depending when you borrow, you have to pay back in the same year or the next fiscal year, to get us through on a temporary basis. But again, if the taxes don't pass, our real concern is going to be what do we do past 12-13? There just won't be enough, you know, to do to make these kind of cuts and still be a school district. Again, there's not other deferrals. We may have a problem. We were projecting a problem at the end of the year because they don't pay you for several months. So we may have a short-term problem to be able to borrow. And nutrition services, I think we have a couple $1 million. So beyond that, we would have to borrow. And there's time periods where you have to apply for the trans, and I don't recall those exact dates right now. But that might be something we would put in place so that if there was a necessity, we'd be able to do that.
I mean, when I look at this, the decisions that we have to make as a district is if we were going to plan for the worst case scenario, it would be major layoffs right now. We would have to look at class size reductions, you know, and increasing class size at the elementary. And I'm saying right now, I don't know that that's the best solution right now. I would hate to lay people off and then the trigger doesn't happen and then we've made those decisions. Now, we're just putting off the pain for an additional year, clearly, but in my mind, if the trigger came, that would be an opportunity for us to go to negotiations. I think we'd have to talk about furlough days. That's not a good option at all, but it would be an option to get us through next year.
can you explain to me how furlough days work? Because
you know, we would still be here.
Well, it depends on what day you take the furlough day. The students are here, you can declare a non-student day. Your instructional minutes will be affected by that.
So it would be less than...
If you declare a student day a furlough day, then it would be less instructional minutes. But you can, depending on when it occurs, it could be the professional development day that we have in January. It's possibly in the calendar year, get rid of the year in the next month. Or you know, it could be at the end of the year. It could be a student day. It just depends on when we decide we want to do a privilege. So it basically just is a day of no students and no work.
No pay. You save money on salary. There's no good solution. I think that's what I have to say, first of all. And the last thing that I want to take away is students in graduation, absolutely. But we're looking at desperate times, and I think these are conversations we need to have. My recommendation right now would not be to lay anybody off until we know we have to. And in order to do that, we have to be open-minded to possible alternatives in negotiating that if the trigger took place.
Has there been any talk about, I know they said that you could give notices to teachers in August if there was a change. I have not heard of that.
There's triggers. It's a late layoff time, and there's triggers for that. There's, and I don't know exactly all the parameters that have to be met. But then it's possible if the, a lot of it depends on the state budget. And when that's adopted, and is it adopted on time? Is there any COVID involved? So all those things have to fit in place for it to the kitchen for that August 15th update.
And there wouldn't be another, like, let's say this didn't pass, there wouldn't be, in, like, they have that August date. Do you think they could put something in the statute that would allow reductions at that time?
Well, I don't know, legislator actually putting something in that overrides that, which I haven't got.
Right. Well, and I don't want this to happen. I'm just,
y'all, you're in the same place we are. We're struggling with it, and there's no good answer. I think the good news is we were expecting to have to make some of those cuts this year, and I think we're really tightening our belts in a variety of areas for putting it off for a year. I think that's the good news. I think we're in better, in terms of ending fund balance, we're better than had been predicted earlier on. So I mean, we're feeling that we're making the right decisions right now to put us in a better place, but you know, then you throw in this new trigger for next year, and how do you plan for that? How do you plan for $3 million and about $2 million? How do you do that?
Tell school. Teasing, because it's going to be so much.
No, it's not okay. There are too many trees on us.
Yeah.
So we just our goal is to keep you informed. As you know, normally you get this later on, but our goal is as we have these conversations and that we keep you informed and get direction from you. And if you feel that you'd like to have a budget, you know, kind of a working meeting to go over more specifically what the numbers are, we'd be more than happy to. But we're really just trying to keep you informed where everything is.
Well, what the different things that you were cuts you were talking about? I think it would be really great for the public to know what could be cut, what the potential is for right. Because when we did it before, we didn't have a whole lot of lead time. But if we started having the conversations now with the community and letting them know, they'd give them a chance to give more input on these are deep cuts. What would be the best for your child? And then the teachers, what would work best in your classroom? If we could get more of that input now instead of waiting until after it happens, because then everyone's in a panic mode and it's really hard. But if we start having the conversations now, and it sounds like we haven't had the conversations with our different union.
At this point, we're bringing it to you first. We wanted to share this with you tonight. That would be the next step. I'm actually working with you and me tomorrow to have this conversation with you.
Thank you very much. Very informative. Okay. One more question. On page 6, on the third bullet, the funding for transportation, I thought you said we took a bigger hit there than you thought we were going to. If that legislation hadn't been pushed through,
for our particular district, yes. So they just took away our transportation dollars. We would have lost $226,000. The latest change is they gave us the $226,000 back, but they're giving us a cut in the revenue limit equivalent to $382,000. So we're actually, you know, $150,000 worse off.
Thank you.
Sure.
CFPA was asking for this information. They want to know how this affected the different districts. So I will send this to them.
Right? Yeah. If you're a rural district, this is, you're still getting a cut. It hurts, but it's hurting less. So it's like sharing the pain.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, and thank you for being so proactive and keeping us informed early on. Okay, the Board of Education discussion. Okay, dates to remember: February 20th, President's Day, schools and district offices will be closed. February the 28th is our next Board of Education meeting. We have also a special Board of Education meeting on March 5th. And there being no further business to come before the board, we call this meeting adjourned at 10:10.